Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Willie Dills, Chad King, Ben Lee, and Eric Nathanson. Dedicated to the greatest team in Major League Baseball, the San Francisco Giants. This is TortureCast.
Posey watching on deck, the 2-2 pitch. High drive! Left field! It is out of here! His sixth hit of the night sends everybody home.
They set an outside target, and here's the mistake, and McCutchen makes him pay. And he knew it the minute it left the bat. This game was over.
So how sweet was that? Welcome to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. This is episode 138. It's April 9th, 2018. I'm your host, Chad. And joining me, of course, from Georgia, as always, is Eric. What's up, dude?
That was so sweet. That at-bat, that McCutchen at-bat, phenomenal. It was the best at-bat I can remember from a Giant in the last few years. That Dodger game, that'll go down as a game we'll talk about 5 years from now, hopefully.
No, that was absolutely incredible, and that is exactly what the Giants needed, especially considering this week. We last recorded a week ago, and they've only played four games, partially because of off days, and of course, they had a rainout Friday night. The Giants did go 2-2 in those four games. They split against Seattle, and they split against L.A. So you really look at that, and that was such a crucial game because they lose that. And by the way, L.A. went up in the top of the 14th inning.
Yeah.
So they were on board for losing that game. Granted, they had runners on first and third, so Kutch gets a sack fly, and the game continues to go on. But that said, if they lose that game, they go 1-3 in this homestand, and that's not what the Giants need right now. And hey, look. It's only eight games into the season. It's still a brand new season. But like we talked about last podcast and the season preview, as long as they can hover around 500 by the time Shark and especially Mad Bum come back, the Giants are going to be okay. And we'll see what happens after that. But right now they're 4-4. And better yet, what? The Dodgers are, what, 3-6? So
yeah.
We'll take that. We'll take that. The Dodgers are,
the Dodgers are
in the worst position of the Giants.
That Saturday game, though, there's like so much life in the clubhouse, and seeing the way Kutch reacted, like that was like a milestone moment in season if things break the right way. I think they showed that they're not going to be a team that rolls over and dies by having, you know, certain guys out. You know, bringing in Kutch, Longoria, even Jackson, who's had a couple of hits, but I mean, what can you say about Andrew McCutchen? The at-bat, just the whole... He's taken on a bit of a leadership role in a way that we didn't know the Giants were missing. And he's feeding off of the crowd as much as the crowd is feeding off of him.
Just incredible. I mean, seriously, yeah. that was the shot in the arm the Giants needed. And everybody was kind of down after that 5-4 deficit they were facing going into that bat. And the amazing thing about that, and I know we're skipping a little ahead, but we'll just talk about it now since we're talking about Kutch. But... what was his average going into the game?
Oh, he was hitting .083 when the game started, and then he went 6-for-7 and shot his batting average all the way up to .258, which is just phenomenal when you think about it. Like that, the game was I watched the game in multiple rooms, doing multiple things. So I made an entire batch of meatballs. And salad and ate it all and cleaned everything up and had dessert and then did like two other things and then came back and the game is still going. Saturday was just one of those games that goes on and on. And there was so much. Like, Chase Utley tied the game with a home run. It had to be Chase Utley. We hate Chase Utley. You know, as you mentioned, they fell behind in the top of the 14th inning. And in the bottom of the 14th inning, not only is Kelby fist one for a base hit, when Joe Panik gets a base hit to right, on a ball, Kelby has to duck and freeze for a moment to make sure it isn't fielded behind him. He still makes it first to third before Kutch gets up. That was like the talk of it for the 2 minutes before all of a sudden Andrew McCutchen missed the first two pitches that he swung at and then didn't miss again. It was unbelievable, just unbelievable Giants, like, team effort. There was everything from all around. And Bochy talked about it after the game, where you want to get everybody involved as a team early in the season so that everybody feels like they're pulling on the same rope. And you don't necessarily ask for a 14-inning game to do it, but if the opportunity presents itself, what the hell? And it kind of turned into that kind of game, you know. Giants picked each other up all over the place, and it was just so much sweeter against the Dodgers. They're 3-3 against the Dodgers after six games. That's so much better than most people had expected.
Yeah, again, they had 10 games against the Dodgers, you know, here in the month of April, and they're 3-3 against them, so they got four more to go. That's fine. It's okay because they split the other four, which, you know, all of them are at home, by the way. They're going to be 5-5, and that's what we wanted right now. And if they can take 3 out of 4, great. If they lose 3 out of 4, it's not the worst thing in the world because they're 4-6 in those 10 games. We just wanted to avoid the 2 or 3 win stretch against the Dodgers, and that was the big thing. So they can come back from a 4-6 record, but that was just huge. And yeah, the fist hit, the other base hit, Kelby had a duck. You had first and third, and you're thinking to yourself, there's no way the Giants can't lose it here in the 14th, right? I mean, they're going to get this run home. But then again, stranger things have happened with the Giants, especially with runners in scoring position. As we know, their average is not exactly top
Kutch
of the league.
Kutch was so locked in. It was just such a different feeling when he came.
He already had five hits. And even when he swung and missed at the first two, you're thinking, he's going to hang in there. He's going to get the job done. He's going to fist one to the right side. He's going to get a sack fly. He's going to do something. And I tell you, though, because of the way I forgot the name of the pitcher who was pitching, but going in
Font.
And out, in and out, in and out. Yeah, Font, that's right. And he's got electric stuff, too, by the way. In and out, in and out. You look at that replay, and that pitch is right on the border of being inside, high and tight. Yeah. And Kutch knew it was coming. And to see his hips open up and be able to get that barrel to that part of the zone, and then to crush it like a no-doubter, I mean, that's just incredible. You saw, I mean, that just is proof that Kutch was looking for the ball in that zone. Because if it's you or I up there in our, not a 90-something mile-an-hour fastball, but, you know, reasonable fastball, that's breaking our bat. I'm sorry. It's breaking our bat if we're swinging at it. So
our bat would have been broken or on the bench already. He did a phenomenal job of setting it up by fouling off pitches at the top of the zone and a couple of pitches very similar to the pitch he hit out. And if you look at the replay, which I've watched more times than I care to admit, if you look at the replay, that's not even where the catcher wanted it.
No.
He wanted the pitch away, and the ball just still broke in on Kutch. And like you said, the hips flew open, and it was over. And the recording at the beginning with Kipe, like, he almost came out of the booth, man. Kipe was so excited for that because it was such a great battle. Like, I was sitting here watching it with my wife, and after about 3 or 4 fouls, we both kind of stopped, you know, the little stuff you're doing on the side, like the second screen and me looking at Twitter, her playing Candy Crush. And all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is a great at bat. And, you know, the tension kind of mounted, and all of a sudden, bam, he hits it out. And, like, Kipe had that same explosion that came with it. It was like such a great, joyous Giants moment for a team that was so crappy last year. There was no moments like this. There wasn't. There was literally no moments like this. Buster homering in the, whatever, 18 millionth inning, it doesn't count because their season was already over at that point.
Right.
And that was May 12th. But their season was over.
That was over then. Yeah, I remember that walk-off, and he threw his helmet and the whole thing. But you're like, yeah, this is great, but
it was exhaustion. Right. It wasn't like, yes, they vanquished the Dodgers. They punched, and Dodgers punched back, and then Dodgers punched again, and then the Giants had one last uppercut. It was like a prize fight. It was an old school game. Saturday was just, it was the game of the week. You know, I saw it in national. Aside from Ohtani getting all the press, that Giants Dodgers game with Kutch and his six hits was getting all sorts of good press this weekend. It was a sign of like old school times. I hope they're still doing this. I hope they're still slugging it out in September, because these teams match up really well. It shows you the Dodgers and how they miss Justin Turner. Their lineup isn't as long, and they strand runners just like the Giants.
They've been stranding runners just like the Giants. You're right. I think Justin Turner has had a bigger impact in the beginning of the season than I think a lot of us thought. I'm sure some Dodgers fans were pretty upset about it. But look, you know, we're missing Madison Bumgarner and the Sharks. So, and they got a worse record. That worse record isn't just because of Justin Turner. If he's in there, maybe they win another game or something like that. But he's not making the difference in the entire season. But I will agree that they could have easily, because both games, you know, we're extra innings, and the first series in LA were tight games too, except for one. So, I mean, Justin Turner could have made the difference. You don't know. I mean, it's such a small sample size at this point. You know, it's the butterfly effect. We really don't know what would have happened. But I will say that this morning when I went to the gym, my good buddy, who's a major Dodger fan, you know, he showed up. I hadn't seen him in a while. And I kind of smiled at him, and he smiled at me, and he's like, dude, I could watch the Dodgers play the Giants all year long. Those games were so fun, just so much fun. And it was cool to hear him say that, even though, you know, both teams split, both teams were in extra innings, and both teams could have swept the series easily. But he thought, man, it was just fun. It was just fun. Even though Kutch hit the bomb, he said that game was fun, you know, which was really cool to hear it from that side, because that's what you got to say in the regular season. I mean, look, the Giants, you know, show a lot of fight. The Dodgers have shown a lot of fight. This is the way a rivalry should be. And it's great. It's wonderful. I mean, if the Giants lost both games and they were both tough games, I don't think we'd be saying that. But since it was a split, I think both sides can agree. Really, really tough games, man. You know, both extra innings. Could have gone either way. It was fantastic.
Yeah, that was the best. And I'm going to share a few stats about what McCutcheon did, so we can put a bow on this, because that was unbelievable. Andrew McCutcheon is going to be a fan favorite, like, obviously the rest of the season, and who knows how much longer. He seems like a perfect fit. Some of the things he did on Saturday against the Dodgers. He is one of two people in Major League history to tally 6-plus hits and have a walk-off homer in the same game. Detroit's Jim Northrup did it in 1969. He is only the 8th Giants player with a walk-off homer in the 14th inning or later since they moved to San Francisco. He's the 4th Giant to hit a home run, his first home run with the team be a walk-off home run. The last guy to do it, GQ, Guillermo Quiroz.
Oh,
I think that's how you say it. Yeah, I remember that guy. Yeah. It was the second latest walk-off homer in the Giants and Dodgers series ever. Valmy Thomas had one in 1957 in the 15th inning. And he was the 4th Giants player with a 6-hit game since they moved to San Francisco, and the first to do it at home. The first two guys, Jesus Alou, went 6-for-6 in 1964 at Wrigley. Mike Benjamin went 6-for-7 in 1995, also at Wrigley for some random-ass reason. And then a couple years ago, Brandon Crawford went 7-for-8. I think that tied some major league record. I'm not sure on that because it's Kutch's day back in 2016. So he's the 4th Giant to hit 6 hits in a game since they moved to San Francisco. Ooh. And he is the first player with a walk-off homer with his team trailing in the 14th inning or later since July 11, 2015, when he also accomplished that same feat against St. Louis.
Oh, no kidding. And that's in all Major League Baseball.
Right. So over the last, 3 years, he's the only guy to hit a walk-off homer in the 14th inning or later with his team trailing.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool.
I mean, it was such a key thing that the Dodgers took the lead first in that inning. You know?
No, think about the percentage chance the Giants had winning going into the bottom of the 14th were slim to none. because that's how most games end. You know, the top of the inning, the visitor goes up by one or more runs. You know, 9 times out of 10 or more, they're going to win. So, and half of the times, or even less than half the times that a team scores a run or more, they're going to tie it, right? They're not going to actually win it. So, the stat that really did surprise me was that he's the first one to do it at home. That's insane as far as the six hits is concerned in San Francisco Giants history. In 60 years, he is the first Giant to get six hits at home. That's incredible to me. I mean, out of all the years with Mays and McCovey and Will Clark and Kevin Mitchell and, you know, Buster Posey and all these guys, no one's gotten six hits at home. That's
Robbie
weird,
Thompson,
man.
Brett Butler, any of those guys could have done it. Dwight Evans, all of them,
So that's pretty cool. So pretty significant history there. So hey, Giants went 2-2. It's not that bad. Could have been worse. The Giants did lose the first game against Seattle, 6-4. The problem with that game, and we'll talk about Ty Block against the Dodgers. Ty Block allowed 4 runs in the first inning, and that really, I mean, it's not the nail in the coffin, but it puts him significantly far behind. And what's really funny about that game is that Joe Panik hit a home run to make it 4-1 at one point. And that was only the third run. Think about this. This is only less than a week ago. It was the third run of the Giants season. All 3 runs scored via the Joe Panik solo shot. He had scored all 3 runs of the Giants. That's crazy. I don't even know the stats on that. I mean, we already know the stats on the back-to-back 1-0 wins with solo shots by the same guy. Never happened. Right. Only happened once before, kind of thing. But I wonder how many players have hit 3 home runs to begin a season to score the team's first 3 runs. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Yeah, it probably hasn't. That's tough to do.
That's really tough to do. I mean, maybe in one game, the first game of the year or something like that. But it was
spread out. Chances are you're gonna hit like at least a 2-run shot if you hit 3 in one game. You know, generally somebody's gonna be on base ahead of you. So
because it was 1-0, 1-0, then they got shut out the next 2 games in LA. So it was game number 5. The Giants scored their 3rd run via that home run. So really weird. But the Giants did score a few more runs after that, but they did lose 6-4. The second game against Seattle. This is the offense we want to see. This is the offense we want to see. They clobbered Seattle and King Felix, nonetheless, who is aging, and he's definitely not the same pitcher he used to be, but he certainly isn't this bad. The Giants ended up scoring 10 runs in the game and ended up hitting 4 home runs, which is incredible. I mean, I don't even know the last time the Giants hit 4 home runs. It's been a while. They hit 3 in one inning, actually, and that was the first time since 2015, so it had been a couple of years or 3 years since they had done that, which was great, and Pablo hit a 3-run jack. Obviously, Panik has hit his, so the offense was rolling there. So they split that. You know, it's Seattle. They're not world beaters, but at the same time, it's a 2-game.
Got to win the games, right? Yeah, it's weird. After 3 series of baseball, the Giants have split everything. You know, there's no one any series and lost another one to even out. Everything's just like split. Like I look forward to this 3-game series against Arizona. So that the Giants can possibly take 2 of 3. I'm tired of these even numbers. You know, it's getting in the way of this stuff.
So a politician would say, we haven't lost a series yet.
Yeah, right? They haven't won one yet either. Like, I'm tired of feeling good about it.
But you don't say that. You don't say that. You say, we haven't lost one yet.
Forget it. Well, I mean, it's they've only allowed – did you know the Giants have still only allowed 2 home runs, the fewest in baseball?
Yeah, I did know that. Yeah. Pretty cool. Yeah, Chase Utley, of course, you know, did it in the game that had to go to extra innings because of him.
And it barely went over. And Bellinger did it in L.A., and it also barely went over.
Yeah, so they weren't exactly no-doubters.
No.
But they go back home, of course. Friday night was canceled because of rain, and that was actually the first canceled game at AT&T in 12 years, believe it or not. They've had delayed games. They have not had a postponed game in 12 years. I found that shocking. I thought they were wrong, but I looked into it, and it was correct. So pretty cool. They did reschedule that game for a day-night doubleheader on April 28th when the Giants come back – or so the Dodgers come back to AT&T. So that's going to be essentially a 4-game series.
And that, fun fact about the doubleheader, that'll be the first doubleheader since 2013 at AT&T, when because of rainouts in Cincinnati, the Reds and Giants were forced to play one game with the Reds as the home team and the second game with the Giants as the home team at AT&T. And that's the only reason a doubleheader had been there since, like, 06. So it'll be the first time since, what is that, 13, 5 years.
I distinctly remember that game, thinking how strange it was for the Reds to be the home team at AT&T Park. That was just beyond bizarre, just beyond bizarre. But baseball, you got to do these things, especially against other divisions where you only have a one away and one home kind of series. So they got to do what they got to do. So yesterday's game, unfortunately, the Giants did lose 2-1. But look, we're talking, it was against Clayton Kershaw. They've played 8 games, and they've played 2 against Kershaw. So, you know, and they're going to play another one in late April. So the Giants are getting a lot of Kershaw. A quarter of their games now are against Kershaw. The good news is Kershaw hasn't beaten the Giants yet. They did beat him down in L.A., 1-0, and yesterday he left with a no decision. So Kershaw did not win that game. In fact, what's really weird, he's had 3 starts. His ERA is 1.89. You'd think the dude would be at least 2-1 or 2-0 right, with a no decision. He's 0-2. He's 0-2 with a no decision. What the F, man?
Thanks, D-backs.
Guys like CC Sabathia and other starters traditionally who have these like 4+ ERAs who win like 3/4 of their games are just laughing at Kershaw right now.
I was shocked with yesterday's game. Kershaw, when he got yanked and then Posey got a hit off of, I don't remember who the heck came in to tie the game, but like Dave Roberts pulled Clayton Kershaw before a Kershaw-Posey matchup that was basically for the game. Yeah. And Kershaw was at like 92 pitches. I happened to be taking a shower listening to the game at the moment, and I'm in my bathtub screaming like, what are you doing, man? Let us have Kershaw-Posey. Like, it worked out well for the Giants fans for the moment, you know. But like, I think that's bad managing. That's undermanaging yourself or outmanaging yourself by Dave Roberts. There were a couple cracks in his armor this weekend where I felt like Bochy kind of took him to school, and it was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Kershaw's just got to be kicking himself. He doesn't care about wins and losses. I mean, we know that. He just
wants to face them. Yeah, he just wants to face the best. This is what
for. Yeah, that's what he's there for. Instead, he put in a mid-range reliever and, you know, he got burned by it and got the no decision. So,
right.
Unfortunately, the Dodgers they scored both of their runs with two out hits. So, you know, it's one thing that the Giants have not excelled at recently, but the Dodgers did their damage, you know, when it counted. They did leave 9 on base. The Giants actually only left 4 on base. So the Dodgers did have more runners on base. So it kind of makes sense. It's going to happen. Brandon Belt was up at the last of the game there. They did have the tying run in scoring position after a strikeout steal attempt that was successful for Hunter Pence, but Brandon Belt couldn't do it. The last pitch was, I thought, was a little high, but, you know, it's one of those situations in which you got 2 strikes with the game on the line.
Foul it off.
Yeah, it's, you know, I know he argued with the umpire, and his post-game comments suggested that it wasn't, he didn't even say it was close. He just said, oh, there's no way that was a strike. I mean, that wasn't even close, but you look at the replay and you're like, okay, I get what you're saying. But at the same time, if it's anywhere near the zone with 2 strikes and then, you know, last of the 10th and you're down by a run, it's different if it's the 5th inning, right? It's the 10th inning. It's like you go down swinging, no one's going to be like, oh, that ball was an inch high. No one's going to give you shit about it. But you let a ball go, gets called, that's it, because you didn't do anything. So,
well,
unfortunately, it's more ammunition for the Belt haters, which I don't like because I like Belt. But
I mean, it's not just Belt. This speaks to it. This year, with 2 outs and runners in scoring position, the Giants are 1-32.
Yeah.
I mean, that speaks to it. That's not just Belt. That's everybody. Just
so the Dodgers had twice as many hits in one game that the Giants have had all year.
Well, 2 outs and runners in scoring position. That's what I mean. Just with runners in scoring position, they're batting a hefty 127. They're 8-63. And 2 of those hits are home runs, so a lot of that accounts for it. So the Giants are not hitting the ball when guys are getting on base, despite the 8 runs and 7 runs, 10 runs and 7 runs, which were, you know, phenomenal, and the order's longer. They really haven't had the offense click yet.
No, I mean, the runners in scoring position average will regress back to the mean. We know this, but at the same time, other things may regress in a negative way to balance that out. But if the Giants had a major league average in terms of runners in scoring position or hits with runners in scoring position, they definitely would have at least one or two more wins right now. And that's what's frustrating, because they've had their opportunities. They set the table in a decent way. They're just not knocking them in. Like you said, 8 for 60, whatever, and then 1 for 32 with two outs and runners in scoring position. So, yeah. I mean, 1 for 32, dude. 1 for 32. I thought it was bad when they were 1 for 28 overall with runners in scoring position, which really was horrible. They haven't improved it that much with 8 for 60, whatever, but 1 for 32.
And it was a single. It did drive in. It did drive in runs. Yeah. I guess. No. Maybe. I mean, yeah. I guess it had to have. There's one RBI on the board, so it had to have.
Oof. 1 for 32. I mean, Chris Stratton could hit that, I think. So.
Probably.
So anyway, yeah, the Giants went 2-2 for the week. Not too bad. Let's see. I want to talk about Ty Block. So. He pitched well in L.A., and he pitched well again against L.A. at home. He had the hiccup against Seattle, allowing 4 runs in the first inning. But let's look at what he's done against L.A. I know he's pitched even better against Kershaw. In fact, he was hitting .444 against Kershaw as a hitter going into yesterday's game, which is incredible to me. But he pitched well. He's 2-1 when they face Kershaw, but overall, Block has a 1.42 ERA versus LA. That's incredible. And we're talking about, this is the guy that's replacing Bumgarner right now. So he's doing his job against LA. In two starts, can't say anything that he's done poorly. So good for Ty Block. He's definitely representing the Giants. And if it wasn't for him, think about this. If he gets shelled because both games were so close, and they did lose one game, so I guess I shouldn't say that, but the first game, they lost 1-0. He allows 2 runs in 6 innings, which is a great start. Giants lose, right?
Yep.
And they're 3-5 right now. And the Giants would be, or the Dodgers would be 4-5. And they'd be actually ahead of the Giants. So these little things really do make a difference. And Ty Block has been holding his own so far.
Well, he needed to work yesterday. And early on, it did not look like he was going to last long. He was around the plate, and they got bailed out by a couple of ground ball double plays, or you could say he helped himself out with a couple of ground ball double plays.
Yeah, I think twice he had bases loaded with one out, and he got those double plays?
Something like that in the first, like, two of the first 3 innings. And then, you know, it was like, oh, shit, he's not going to – sorry, we got an E last time, so let me make sure I don't say that. It looked like he wasn't going to last, and with the Giants and the bullpen and how everybody pitched the night before, you kind of wanted the starter to go deep, and then he settled down and he gave a few more innings, which is also commendable and things that are not going to be shown in the stats at the end of the year, like you're saying. That's part of what's, I think, kept Ty Block around at times, is how he's got this power over the Dodgers.
It's been great. So let's talk about who's hot and who's not. I think we can start off with Andrew McCutchen, obviously. He went 6 for 7, raised his average, and won a game. So welcome back to San Francisco, Andrew McCutchen. What else you got?
Buster, his home run on Saturday was his first home run at home since August last year, which just kind of blew my mind. And he only hit 3 home runs last year at home. So he's already a third of the way of catching his own total, which I think he'll actually do by the end of April. And he tied the game up in a clutch situation on Sunday, even though they ended up winning that game, but he came through with a late hit.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Posey's he's a bit of an enigma wrapped up in a riddle and in a puzzle, because he's such a great hitter. He's such a great catcher. He still hits 300 every year, but his power has really diminished in the last couple of years. And like you just cited, 3 home runs at home last year. That's just, sorry about that. That's just not going to cut it. But, you know, he's not going to be a guy who's going to be hitting for power all the time. So it is what it is.
I think he's going to be fresher this year because the length in the lineup with McCutchen and Longoria, I think it just the weight is off Buster, and I think he just feels freer to swing at stuff, and I think it's going to result in more balls that are just driven. So I think he's going to get more homers this year. I think we're going to see him close to 20 again.
That would be nice because we saw the effect of Bonds on Jeff Kent and, right. You know, those kind of situations.
Rich Aurelia. Yeah.
Yeah, Rich Aurelia went his career, you know, high in home runs, which he hit at AT&T. And he was never, you know, I wouldn't say he's stronger than Buster Posey. We'll see what happens there. But, yeah, I think you're right. I think Buster Posey is due for a breakout season in terms of 20 home runs. I mean, look, we got Longo, who's capable and has hit, you know, 8 out of 9 seasons, 20 home runs. Kutch, same thing. Brandon Belt was at 18 before he got hurt last year. So it's been good. So, I mean, I think it's possible the Giants may have 3 players this year that hit over 20.
I hope so. The offense seems like it's turned around. They're like tied for 12th in homers. They're hitting, and like everybody's got one. Everybody's got a freaking homer. I've got Gorky's on this. Who's hot list? He's 4 for 8 this year with a .500 batting average, and they took King Felix deep.
Yeah,
Gorky's had the most at bats of any guy in baseball last year without a home run, and he homers in his first start, which I love. Bochy said part of the reason he played Gorky's instead of putting Austin Jackson back out there and having Blanco shift back to left was because they were facing Felix, and Felix is Venezuelan, and Gorky's is Venezuelan, and Gorky's always looked up to Felix, so he felt like he was going to get something good from Gorky's that day, and he did.
And he
Gorky's,
did.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. He hit a home run. Everybody, though, Gorky's, Buster, Craw, Belt, Longo, McCutchen, Panic, everybody but Austin Jackson, of regular players, even Pablo, they all have homers. It's weird.
So Kelby Tomlinson also a hit in 3 of the last 4 and went first to third before the Kutch home run. That was what we talked about early this year. So, you know, he made the team clearly as a backup infielder. He's a spunky little guy with his specs, and he's doing well so far for the Giants. So I have no complaints about him. He's very serviceable. I still remember the very first time I was able to talk with him, and it was in a podcast 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was 2 years ago. It was a game against the St. Louis Cardinals in which it went to extra innings, and he hit the game-winning hit, and you know, it was a walk-off hit. And there was a video of him flinging the bat. I mean, just absolutely flinging the bat like it could have killed someone, you know, raising his arms, the whole thing. And I remember going down to the clubhouse afterwards, and people were talking to him about all sorts of stuff. And I said, "Do you realize that you flung your bat?" And he's all, "What? Nah, what? Oh, I didn't know I did that." I was like, "Oh, you want to see the video?" And he's like, "Yeah, yeah, sure." And sure enough, I literally handed him my phone, and he hit play. And it was the first time he saw himself flinging a bat during a walk-off hit. And he thought that was the greatest thing in the world. He is a really chill guy. I really like him. I think he's well-grounded, and he's got a good work ethic. He's one of those blue-collar baseball guys. You know what I mean?
He gives it all. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He gives it all the time. That's what I love about him.
Yeah, and he looks like a normal guy. I mean, come on. You see him on the street, you wouldn't think he was a Major League Baseball player. He's
not
exactly well-built, but he's very athletic. So kudos to Kelby for that. All right, so who's not? Unfortunately, Longoria. He did have his first hit as a Giant, which he was hoping for. It was a home run. Hasn't done much since. He's hitting .138, and he's got 10 strikeouts and no walks. I mean, he's not a 300 hitter. His career, you know, 260, 270, maybe max 280. He's got some work to do.
Still,
so,
yeah. I mean,
I don't know if he's adjusting or what's going on.
He's hit a couple doubles, so, you know, he's also squaring up the ball a little bit. Let me go put this in context. I forgot to put the at-bats on him. Where'd it go? There it is. 29 at-bats, and he's got 10 strikeouts and no walks. That's the part that's concerning to me. With Longoria, I think the ball will start falling for him a little bit more
when he makes contact. Yeah,
yeah, that's the thing right there.
Yeah, but 1 out of 3 is, you know, is a strikeout. That's not good. That's on pace for 200 Ks. I mean, that's not going to work out. And in fact, you know, he was given that off day against Seattle, and of course Pablo ended up jacking a three-run bomb, so it looked good in terms of the managerial decision. But this is a guy who is never injured, and he plays 156, 158, 160 games a year. So he's not used to getting a lot of off days. But I think with his slump here at the beginning of the year, until he breaks out of it, I think you're going to see a few off days for him with Pablo going in there, especially considering the last performance that Pablo gave. And maybe that'll light a fire under him. I don't know. I'm just surmising here, but you know, he wants to do well here in San Francisco, and hopefully he's not putting too much pressure on himself. And Kutch, you know, a lot of people said the same thing, but he broke out with a 6-for-7 game. But everyone, you know, people who are panicking, they were panicking about McCutcheon, of course, before that game against the Dodgers. They're still panicking about Longo. Guys, if a guy goes 138 out of 29 at-bats in the middle of August, no one even notices. No one even notices. A guy's average may dip 10 points, right? It's at the beginning of the year. I think it's just magnified when people either start hot or start with a slump because the numbers are so gaudy because you don't have that sample size. Oh my God, this guy's hitting 400. Oh my God, this guy's hitting 083, right? It's just a matter of the numbers, and I think people need to take a step back, look at the last 5, 6, 7 years for these players and go, oh, okay, they're going to be all right. Not that the guy won't hit over 250. We don't know that yet, but you know, if he goes 138 in the middle of the season, no one notices. But he goes 138 at the beginning of the season, that's his batting average. So, you know, it's very glaring. So, you know, Buster Posey has certainly gone 138 or worse in a 29-hit or 29-at-bat stretch in his career. Many times. I guarantee it. But it's just not magnified when it's in the middle of the season.
No, and the difference is Longo doesn't get as much of a pass as Kutch because Kutch has personality. Kutch has been on Giants fans' radars for years because we all saw the Pirates, you know, back in 14, and you know, so we all know who Andrew McCutcheon is. Longo's this unknown third baseman that used to play in the armpit of America. Like, you know, who the hell knew who Longo was, except he was like the rookie of the year one time. And I know the guy hits well, but who wants to watch a game in a warehouse? So I never watched the Rays. So Longo, he's going to come around. He is. He's just wants
he will.
To get comfortable.
He will. I think everybody needs to calm down about that. So you also said, obviously, McCutley. I mean, I know you say, I guess 1-for-10 again. Plenty of people have gone 1-for-10. Well,
He hits the ball hard. Probably like 5 of his out. So
it was against Seattle, right? He had 4 at bats. All 4 were hard hit line drives.
Yep.
And Krug and Kipe were talking about it the day after, and they were just flabbergasted by it because they can't recall seeing a guy. I mean, everybody has atom balls. You might have 2 atom balls in the game. To have 4 atom balls and to have nothing to show for it, they said, was just pure bad luck. I mean, he gets 2 of those to fall, you know, he's 3-for-10. So everybody, it's okay. I agree.
That's just funny. Yeah, that's just
funny. It is funny. That's why I said, I guess.
Right. Well, it's hard to pick a who's not. Like, I was saying this to Chad before the show, because even if I want to pick, like, Gomez, because he gave up a bunch of runs the other night in L.A., A, those runs weren't the game breaker, and B, he saved their ass with 2 innings of shutout baseball on Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, the same can be said. Pierce Johnson let up the run yesterday to LA, but before that he was nails, and he still pitched pretty good yesterday. They were just kind of broken bat CNI hits.
Yep.
So there's not really anybody who's having a bad stretch, except for, I guess, Longoria.
Yeah, he's the only guy that's really cool.
That sucks. Yeah, that sucks.
All right, so coming up, the Giants do have 3 at home versus Arizona, and they are hot, guys. They are 7-2. They swept the Dodgers. They beat St. Louis 2 out of 3. They are on a roll. Their pitching has been absolutely incredible, and Paul Goldschmidt is still hitting 100. So he hasn't even contributed to the Diamondbacks' success so far. So, Goldschmidt is one of those Giants killers. Every team has one, and he's definitely the Giants' nemesis. So, I mean, this is going to be a tough series. I mean, there's no doubt. Giants, they're going to have to fight to get 2 out of 3. Corbin, who's been pitching really well, is going to be pitching the first game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a rough one. And Arizona, you know, proved it. You know, they made the playoffs last year. It's going to be interesting. Giants, I think, need to make a statement, bring those guys back down to earth a little bit at 7-2, because, you know, I don't think they're going to win in the West. I don't think anyone does, but they certainly have started off well. And then after that, they go to San Diego to play four. And San Diego hasn't been, you know, horrific. They're just kind of San Diego.
Did you see how they lost the other night?
No. Which one was that?
Okay, the same night as the McCutcheon walk-off. No, San Diego went. Yeah. All right, they went to the 10th against Houston in Houston. And there was two outs, runner on second. There was a pop-up. Not far back from the plate.
Yes. And Eric Hosmer, yes,
charging in, overran it. The ball lands. The guy steps on the plate. The game's over. It was just unbelievable.
And Hosmer's reaction right when he passed up the ball was classic. He was already hands on his knees with his head down before the ball hit the ground, because he knew it right away. He overran that ball, and they showed that. I did see this. They showed the replay, and they show him looking at the ball, looking at the pitcher, looking up, and then, oops, I just overran the sucker, right? And he just does the whole, like, oh.
Sickest man in America moment, you know? It's just
lands right behind him almost simultaneously with the runner crossing home plate. Because, yeah, it had such high hang time, had plenty of time for the runner on second, which there were two outs. He's going to be running.
Exactly. He's got the jump, Absolutely.
And by the way, to all you kids out there who I know are listening to this podcast, that is why you always run out pop flies or anything with two outs, period. You don't care if you think it's going to get caught. You run that stuff out, okay? So anyway, that was definitely a reason. If that was Barry Bonds on second, might not have scored.
That's true.
So yeah, that's right. I did see that. That was pretty incredible. So hopefully the Giants will win via one of those runs thrown in or errors or something like that.
Who cares? Just score 10 runs every game. I'm happy with that.
Just do that, because that Seattle game was so amazing, right? Because when they were up 9-0, you're just like, so they got this. This is great. Yep. I can just enjoy the game. Like, there's no stress. There's no stress. They get like two guys on, and I'm like, I'm not stressed. Nope. So normally two guys on, I'm stressed. So that was great. All right, so we do this little thing every year. Why we should hate this guy? Gonna say Kershaw again, although he technically hasn't beaten us, and he's limited us to, you know, two runs and two starts. I still hate him because of the fact that if it was anyone else, maybe the Giants would score a couple more runs and have won, the other game on Sunday, but. It is what it is. Kershaw is a world beater. He's an amazing pitcher. I have him on my fantasy team. I'm embarrassed to say, but hey, I had to draft him. He was available in the 9th pick. So,
yeah.
And I don't hate him as a person. I think he's a really nice guy. He is what he is, you know? He's Kershaw. He's good. What are you going to say? I just wouldn't draft him in my postseason fantasy draft.
I wouldn't draft any Dodgers in my postseason fantasy
That's
draft.
Right, yeah. No Dodgers in the postseason fantasy draft. So, what about you?
I'm going to hate on Kyle Farmer because that kid last year, his first, his first major league hit was a walk-off against the Giants, and then he had the clutch two-out run-scoring double to win the game in the 10th yesterday for the Dodgers. So Kyle Farmer is turning into some sort of giant killer. And so I want to hate on him now and snuff him out. Not really kill him, but see, you know, because apparently he's got that touch that certain players do. And so I'm ready to hate on Kyle Farmer. He's a nothing. He's a third string catcher, you know, sometimes plays the outfield and first base, but apparently he kills the Giants, so I'm hating on Kyle Farmer. I don't know anything about the kid. I had literally nothing.
No, that's... He killed the Giants, so...
I have no idea if he's a good hitter. I don't know if he's... I don't know if he's a power hitter. I don't know anything. You know what I mean? I don't know what type of player he is. Anything.
No, absolutely. He could be
secretly Nazi. I don't know. And I just... I'm going to hate on Kyle Farmer because he always seems to beat the Giants.
Poor Kyle. All right, so that's going to do it for episode 138 of the TortureCast. You can follow us collectively at TortureCast or like us on Facebook at TortureCast there on Facebook. You can also find us on YouTube. Our podcasts are there. We're also on Podbean. Podbean, Podomatic, iTunes, Stitcher,
Spotify.
Spotify. Thanks. So yeah, we're everywhere. I mean, come on, Google us. You'll find us. If you're listening to us, you already know where we are. So why am I saying this? I don't know.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends, exactly. You can follow us individually, myself at ChadK21, Eric at 2OutHits, which the Dodgers excelled at this weekend. That's with the number 2. And for Willie and Ben, at Willie Dills and at Fried Duck. So for Eric, this is Chad signing off for episode 138. We'll see you next week for episode 139. See you next time. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the Torture Cast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at torturecast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.